Welcome to the Ramble Room. This is Sarah coming to you from a tiny room in someone's attic with really nice sound equipment. I'm joined by Joseph, Ken, and Diane, and we are all here today talking and stewing about some house bills that are probably going to die, trying to defend our Second Amendment right. And as we've been going through all of this stuff, I've had a lot of frustration about, we hear all these people complaining online about, you know, how Wyoming is turning out, how the nation is turning out, and it just stuns me that we live in one of the most conservative states in the nation, and we have a House and a Senate full of people who just don't seem to get what we stand for and what we value and are not representing us well. So it kind of set me down on a rabbit trail in the wee hours of this morning. I wanted to point out a percentage first from the American Conservative Union. If you look up, if you just Google conservative groups in Wyoming, there's Wyoming Gun Owners. There's a few more that I'm completely forgetting about now. But there are some conservative groups who are being kind of the watchdogs on Second Amendment, on abortion, on different things. So rather than start my own, I think I'm going to keep digging into a little bit more of what they're already doing. But there's also a national group called the American Conservative Union, and they rank states based on how conservative they are. Wyoming is currently sitting at a 60%, which is stunning to me. And if you look at our 2020 voter map, there's two blue counties and the rest of it's red. Ridiculously red.
Explain that percentage. 60% of what?
Well, on a scale of 0 to 100, 100 being really, really conservative and 0 being a radical liberal, we're sitting at 60%, which means we're barely above average, really.
Who though? Is it the House members? Is it?
The way that we're voting.
Right.
Or okay. not the way that we're voting, because like I said, the map shows that the people are voting very conservatively, but our representatives in the House and the Senate are not voting the way that their people would vote, if that makes sense.
I think so.
Okay. So we're not being very impressive. And this, of course, has us all quite bothered. So I started doing some digging, and we've been talking specifically about Second Amendment rights. And I came across something from Wyoming Gun Owners as I was looking at those conservative groups. And they had this, it's a 2020 Congressional Gun Rights Candidate Survey. And it says on their website that they sent this survey to all of the candidates that were running in 2020, including our very own Ken Vandegraaff.
Yay! Yes, I filled it out.
Yes.
Properly.
So they have a thing on their website that says
number two
that
pencil.
All of the candidates were informed that if you do not fill out and turn in this survey with your answers, we will assume that you hold an anti-gun position. And there were, do you remember getting this?
Oh, yeah.
And was that clear to you?
It was absolutely clear.
Okay.
It was not hard to figure out.
So what I did is I started cross-referencing lists. I'm a list person, and I am weird about stuff like that. So I looked at the list of candidates, and they actually have on Wyoming Gun Owners, their website, they have a PDF version of an Excel spreadsheet with all of the candidates who received this candidate survey. I forgot to see how many people got it and get the percentage of how many people actually filled it out and turned it back. So I don't have those stats for you. But then I went through the people that actually did fill it out and crossed out the people who didn't win. Okay. So we have 41 members of the House and 12 members of the Senate, I believe, who filled out this survey. And the answers were all pretty consistent. They're actually really conservative. Yes, I would support this. They all kind of agreed on all of those things. So what I wanted to do was go through this candidate survey and talk about the questions and see how people voted. Okay? Which was kind of confusing because I did all this work on the candidate survey and the wrong one printed off, so I had to go back to the PDF version.
Technology.
So these questions are different. Question number one, the Second Amendment unequivocally protects an individual's rights to civilian gun ownership. Like the First Amendment, there is no question that the right belongs to the individual rather than the state, but many lawmakers deny this, and many are calling for an outright repeal of the Second Amendment. So here's the question posed to the candidate. Do you believe the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights is an individual right protected by the Constitution of the United States of America, and it is the duty of the United States Congress to protect that right?
Absolutely.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Hell yes.
I give it a yes.
That's a really, really basic question.
Yeah, that's easy to answer. That's,
yes.
Yeah.
Apparently it's not, though, because there are an awful lot of people that say, they point to the idea of the militia, and I know you'll get into that shortly. The beginning of that, you know, the thing.
The Constitution.
Well-regulated?
Yes.
Well-regulated militia. We've talked about that before.
So out of the 25 people that actually filled this out, turned it in, and gained their seat, so keep in mind that's the number we're looking at, 24 people said yes. One person, Patrick Sweeney, refused to answer the question, which I think is really significant because it's kind of hard to tell from the spreadsheet exactly what happened, but a lot of them were just blank, which means they didn't turn it in. This particular person seems to have just flat out refused to answer questions, so he turned it in but wouldn't answer any of them.
Yeah, it almost seems belligerent.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to answer your stupid question.
I'm going to fill this stupid thing out, but I'm not going to actually give you
any answers. I don't want to be assumed
right.
to well, be against right. this.
What that is saving your own butt.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I didn't answer it either way. Maybe I am a yes guy. Maybe I'm the no guy. But you don't know.
None of your business, voter yeah. people.
Question number two. Anti-gun organizations, often funded with out-of-state resources from Michael Bloomberg, have been clamoring for legislation to end virtually all private party firearms transfers in America unless they submit to a federal NCIC check, thereby adding themselves and the firearm to a federal database. The legislation, H.R. 8, has already passed the House and is being held up in the Senate. As we've seen, the legislation does little to stop crime, but creates statewide databases of gun owners, which can be used against them later. So here's the question to the candidates. If elected, would you oppose universal gun registration laws that would ban virtually all private party firearms transfers and make criminals out of gun owners in America who transfer firearms amongst themselves, including their children and grandchildren, without first obtaining government permission? The overwhelming response was
yes.
It runs in my mind, as I took it, that it was a two-part deal. It was said, would you propose legislation or would you co-sponsor? Would you vote for a legislation or would you co-sponsor? I think it was two-sided, and it might be another survey that did that.
Some of them were, and there were two questionnaires. This one is from their website. This one is the actual PDF one that you can just print off easily. Mm-hmm. And some of them say, would you sponsor, would you co-sponsor? And I don't want to bore everybody by going through every single question, but just making the point that these are really, really basic questions. Would you defend the Second Amendment? Would you defend Wyoming citizens? And the questions were overwhelmingly yes by the people who submitted it. But what stood out to me was how few people even responded.
The deafening silence.
Yes. That's what I'm getting stuck on. Because I don't know if those people just got bogged down in all kinds of groups reaching out to them and saying, hey, we need your whatever. But it seems to me that if you are running as a Republican in the state of Wyoming and Wyoming gun owners sends you something, however you feel about that group, those are really basic questions, and you should be able to state unequivocally that you support the Second Amendment, and it shall not be infringed.
And that group, Wyoming Gun Owners, is
amongst the people,
a well-known group.
Yes.
So if they send you something,
you should want to be on record as saying, "I support the Second Amendment."
Yeah, your opinion needs to be known.
I want to say this because I was sent I don't know how many different surveys, and a lot of them I blew off. I did support Wyoming Gun Owners. I've been a member. There are all kinds of things going on there with trying to force Wyoming gun owners to turn over their list of donors because there have been accusations that they're taking a lot of out-of-state money. It's all bunk. But there are a lot of other organizations out there who play the same kind of games that a lot of lobbyists play, and they will ask gotcha questions. It is a vicious world. And for a lot of us who really don't know who's on what side yet, it just pays just to be silent. So right. From some of these people's perspective, a lot of them felt like better just to keep your head down and not be involved one way or the other,
right?
Rather than stand forward. But on a certain things like the Wyoming sovereignty, on the Second Amendment, people have got to start standing up
yes.
and grabbing a spine or whatever else is attached to that spine, and stand up on their own two feet and say, this is enough. Look what's going on in Washington. They're taking away the possibility of even having a legal, fair election. taken away the possibility of me handing down to one of my grandkids my firearm collection. It's absurd.
Too bad you lost in the boating accident.
I remember when you were campaigning and all of the stuff that was coming in the mail. Would you like to support us? Would you stand for us? Whatever. And I can't even imagine dealing with that onslaught all day, every day, which is why I will not be running for office. Yay. But this is something that is so prevalent in the minds of the people. If you are trying to get elected to be a representative of the people, then you have to have a response for something like this. The other numbers that I pulled off of this cross-reference checklist is that 18 of the people who supported this, 18 of the people who answered these questions, yes, I agree with the Constitution, mm-hmm. 18 of those people in the House lost their race to somebody who never responded. Now, again, we're saying somebody might have responded because they were just trying to abstain, or they just flat out didn't support it. 5 of the people in the Senate lost their race to somebody else who didn't support this. I remember during that campaign and during the actual election day, how many of the conservatives that we were rooting for, we had kind of banded together with those people, and so many of them lost. And it was just kind of a gut punch to see this all over again.
Right. And then you look at our percentage, our voting conservative, it kind of hurts your feelings to sit here and go, we were trying to get somebody in that was actually a conservative, and y'all voted for the guy with the better tie. I don't know. Nobody right. looked at his voting record.
I have often believed that Wyoming was more conservative than it really is, especially this area. This is House District 29. It's the area that I ran for, which includes most of the town of Sheridan. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so I won't be precise on this. But I was shocked to find out that after the election, out of about 2,000 votes cast for president, almost half of them were for Joe Biden. It was within like 30 or 40 votes with Donald Trump. I was stunned. Another thing that is interesting that I'll throw out here is I spent a little less than $10,000. My opponent, Mark Kinner, who's a 3-time incumbent, spent $30,440. And I believe the vote difference was about $200. The point is, maybe we live in a bubble. Maybe we spend too much time just talking to our own selves and we don't really get out there. But when I was going door to door in this district, in our neighborhood, it was hostile. So we don't want to take for granted that the way that it's always been is going to stay that way at all. We need to do everything we can to educate people on why the Second Amendment is important, why having the freedom to be able to protect yourself as God intended is there.
That is incredibly disappointing to see how the people voted. And there does seem to be, it's this weird teetering point where it seems to be about 50-50, where there's those of us on the right, I forgot which end was right, those of us on the right who are standing for the Constitution and for liberties and for rights and freedoms and all that, and then other people who I don't know what they're standing for. So the other list that I started cross-referencing and checking, I printed off a list of current House members, current Senate members, and then I wandered over to whyorhino.com, which is my new favorite thing.
I love that place.
So for those of you that don't know, Rhino in this case is spelled R-I-N-O, and it is an acronym for Republicans in Name Only. It is stunning to me what percentages I saw come up. So like I said, I printed off the House roster and the Senate roster, and then I printed off from YO Rhino the percentage points that they've given everybody. Again, this is on the same kind of scale where 0 is, you know, radical left liberal, 100% is staunch conservative holding to the Constitution.
Based on voting records, right?
Based on voting records, yes. They can look back and see how you voted, what you sponsored, whatever else, and they give you a numerical status.
In the interest of fairness, if there is a flaw with YO Rhino is that they don't consider all the bills. They have actually cherry-picked some bills, I think, in order to make some people look better and other people look worse. Mm. I can't say what their motivations are, but I can say that this isn't a cross-section of all the bills that are out there. They cherry-picked ones that they're concerned with and they're interested in. They happen to be the same things that I'm interested in, so for me, it's very effective.
Well, I appreciate the devil's advocate stance because all of this stuff, these are just numbers. Everybody needs to do their due diligence and look up the people that are running whether it's election season or not, and see how these people are voting. So that's an interesting point that you've made. But moving on.
Thanks. So, thanks for nothing.
The way that the scale works, it's 0 to 100. At least a 70% makes you a conservative. Anything less than 70% makes you a rhino. And like you said, they might be cherry picking, but they're basing it on things that they feel are conservative values. And if you vote in favor, obviously that makes you a conservative. If you vote against, that makes you not. You're part of the other team. So in the House, we have 60 Republicans. And again, that just means people with an R next to their name. And about 7 Democrats, 1 independent, and 1 libertarian. So 85% of our House is Republican. 36 of those Republicans are rated on YoRhino.com. The average score, anybody want to take a guess? The 50. Average 50? Do you have a guess, Joseph?
42.
Okay. Average score was 41.3. There were only 7 Republicans in the House that have a score of 70% or above. That is less than 2%. So we're going to have a little moment, because if you go on to YoRhino.com, they have a little thing at the top that says they're giving like honorable mentions or big game awards to some of these people who have beat out other people. And it's lots of fun. But we're going to do it like it's an award show. Okay? So in the House, if I could cue the applause, please. Just a dull roar. In the House, tying for first with 100% score from YoRhino.com, we have Chuck Gray and Clarence Stivall. That's really loud. I said dull roar.
Not boring. 100% is worth a little bit,
yes,
more than
you
a
can't
more.
Push the masses into your own little box.
Watch me. All right, tying for second place with a 90% score, we have our very own Mark Jennings, Dan Larson, and Art Washut. And in third place, tying for 80%, we have Cyrus Western and John Winter. I know, we're all a little surprised. But
I'm
the
not.
Numbers are what the numbers are.
I'm not surprised.
All right, knock it off. So, in the Senate, here's the numbers on the Senate. We have 28 Republicans and 2 very lonely, sad Democrats, which means that our Senate is 93% Republican. Anybody want to take a guess what their average YO Rhino score is for the Republicans?
36.
Ken says more. Joseph, you have a guess?
I'm going to stay in the 40s. I'm going to go with 45.
All right. You're pretty good at this. Average score for House Republicans is 48%. Why are you doing the applause? That's terrible.
Why is this happening?
Okay. No, that's the average.
That was just terrible. Applause for Joseph.
I guess there's more Democrats in the room than we thought.
Yeah.
Only 7 of them have a score of 70% or more. So here we go again with the awards for first place. With 100% score from YoRhino.com, we have Bo Whiteman, yeah, Anthony Bouchard, Tom James, Lynn Hutchings. Well done, everyone. This is not just a participant. 4 with 100%. In second place, holding strong at 90%, we have Tim Salazar. Yay, Tim. In third place, for 80%, we have Sherry Steinmetz. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing names. And in fourth place, with a holding steady-ish sort of 70%, is Dan Dockstader. Dockstader. All right, not
enough. Man, so our audience is going to have really strong arms from just like Arnold Schwarzenegger's out there.
You know, when you get that worked up, you can do it for a while, and then you're just done.
Yeah. Our very
just
own
veins
GOP.
Popping out everywhere. Anyways.
It was just kind of stunning to me to see how little support these people have for conservative values. But I wanted to give those people mentions on the show for the elections coming up. If these people choose to run again in this crazy rat race of conservative politics, they need our support more than ever because they are vastly outnumbered.
We need to get rid of some of the people that are just not
a lot of them.
Yes.
One thing that shows is just how much compromise there has to be in politics in order to get anywhere. And I think that is the people's fault.
Yes.
Because that's the way politics works. I understand that. But when we just sit there and let that happen, you can't blame that on the people who are the ones who actually make it past the gauntlet if we're not going to be standing there defending them.
I've been thinking about how to run the next campaign. One of the things I want to express is I don't want to go to Cheyenne and make laws. I'm supposed to be legislators, supposed to be lawmakers. No, I want to go there and get rid of laws. I want to erase as many as possible. I'm not going there to make friends. I'm not going there to work together hands across the aisle. I'm there to stop this madness. Look at all the compromise and all the things that we've accomplished because of compromise in the last 50 years.
Not a lot.
Now we're socialist.
What? And the left isn't compromising.
No. They're just making us feel guilty for not compromising with them.
Right. The new stimulus bill kind of proves that there is no compromise. Sending money to other countries for gender studies and blah, 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 blah. They didn't cut any of that fat. They sent it on over. Yeah. And they gave the American people, who actually make the money, pennies, pretty much.
9% of the $1.9 trillion.
Right.
Pennies on the dollar.
It doesn't... And they're not compromising. Why are we still so willing to work with these people? Like, if we go... You go in...
This is a stimulus check. I want mine before we do anything.
This is a war. And you don't go into a war half-assed. You go into a war to win.
Counting the cost.
To obliterate the enemy.
Yeah.
So earlier,
Politically.
Yes. Except that it seems like the political system, I shouldn't even say it seems, the political system has failed the people, according to what the framers of the Constitution had in mind. And earlier today, when we had Marty Halverson on, one of the questions I asked her was, if this bill that is supposed to be defending our Second Amendment rights, if this fails, what do the people do next? And a lot of politicians will answer with things like, oh, write your representatives, call them, badger them, whatever it takes. And they think in terms of, here's the legal plan. Here's what traditionally we do. But to me, that's over and done with. That's not working, and that's been proven. So I loved her answer where she said, stand your ground. You might be fined. Go raise some money to pay off the fines. Take it all the way up to the Supreme Court if you have to, but stand your ground. And I loved that answer because that's all we can do. I do think that it's really important that we educate people as much as possible so that we don't see that voter outcome again in the next cycle.
But we're going to see it. We just have to diminish it as much as we can.
And I think we just have to be noisier. That's one of the things about the other side is that they make more noise than we do.
Yes.
Because we just want to do, we want to live our lives, be left alone. And we've sort of gotten away with that. But we have to be louder.
Yes. There's another aspect to it. Most people that I know of as conservative, and you listed the people there. I know every one of those guys on a first name basis. And they're nice people. They're quiet. They're respectful. Mm-hmm. They are thoughtful.
That's not working anymore.
But the alternative to that, the people who are progressive and radically so, are boisterous, obnoxious, and quite frankly, in my view, they're not nice people. How can you be a nice person and advocate the slaughter of babies even up to and the point of birth? It makes no sense.
If it doesn't work out.
Right, well, but the only reason they're telling us that they are nicer and that the nice guys are bad people.
And that we're the racists.
Right, right. And we stand around and take that. And this is a whole other subject, but I think that's because we've been in public schools for generations.
Yeah.
We go, oh, right. Yes, sorry, I am mean. And you're nice, and I'll just be quiet now.
Does anybody remember that Clint Eastwood speech that he got slammed for where he was speaking to the empty chair?
Yep.
One of the things he said in that speech was conservatives by their nature are more held back. We are just quieter people. We're live and let live kind of people.
Right. That's part of what I was trying to say.
And he predicted during that speech that was going to be our downfall, and it is coming to fruition as we speak.
Yep.
And it seems to me that if you are going to go into battle against someone that is vicious and boisterous and all of that, you at least have to meet them where they are. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to sacrifice our values, whether they're Judeo-Christian or just some sort of...
I like how your hand went up whenever you said that. We have to meet them where they are. It's more down here.
Well, we when they go low, to their level we go at some high.
It is a matter of an equal and opposite force.
Yes.
An object in motion, the progressives, are going to continue in motion until acted upon by an equal and an opposite force.
Yes.
And we're not willing to apply that force, because if we do, then we're perceived as Wyoming gun owners, for example, is, oh, those are just a bunch of bullies.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're just pushing back with equal and opposite force.
And especially today, if you try to meet them with the same amount of force, you will get canceled. They have control of the media, they have control of social media.
But not if everybody stood up together.
That's not necessarily true.
Hmm.
We haven't tried it, though.
Right.
We shall see.
There was the Communist and Socialist Party in Germany, and they stood up against each other, and it didn't turn out very good for the communists.
Mm-hmm. But at least everybody stood up.
Right.
They're easier to hit that way.
I don't remember which one of you it was, but somebody made the point earlier that the left is also very organized. And that's kind of why I was looking at these groups last night going, who amongst us has had the foresight of saying, we need a group. We need a group to watch these legislative sessions going through and seeing what happens and seeing who's voting which way and where bills are in the House or the Senate.
And it's not in our nature as conservatives to need to rely on other people to get the job done.
That's right.
And as a Democrat or a lefty or whatever you want to call these things that are running around nowadays, they have to rely on other people in order to get the job done. And so we're meeting the individual versus the mob.
There's a lot of truth to that. One of the things that we had a discussion, there a group of us getting together trying to do just what you're talking about, Sarah, in monitoring all these different organizations and helping us to become more organized. And it is like herding cats. Conservatives are very independent-minded. They're not going to be told what to do or where to go, and they don't normally congeal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that basic natural tendency, those who are progressives, who are codependent, who think that government, big government, society is the answer to all of the... If you can look at John Wayne and say rugged independence is a visceral bad thing, I've got nothing in common with you.
And we're done.
Well, I think one of the other things with an organization of conservatives is part of the reason it's like herding cats is because, well, I don't know if this is a cause and effect or just that it seems like it works, that it's easy to separate them. We all get together because we're conservatives. And then one little thing makes everybody go, wait a minute, I'm more conservative than you are. I can't deal with that. Rather than picking two or three things, we stand on these truths, and we're going to work together against those, they separate into little groups of going, well, but I couldn't work with somebody who didn't believe exactly what I do on 10 things.
You've precisely described the church in America.
That's what I was just about to say.
But also hearkening back to the framers of the Constitution, we hold these truths to be self-evident.
Yeah.
Not all of them. We're all going to have disagreements. But these ones are self-evident and are non-negotiable and shall not be infringed.
If conservatives can come together on just that, the ones that are self-evident, then forget about what your other opinions are.
Right.
I mean, because the original Constitution pretty much covers it. If you can come together on the Constitution, all the rest of the stuff you can put to the side and say, okay, I can swallow my pride there.
Mm-hmm.
It is much like the Ten Commandments, because if you, and actually the two, but let's just follow these to the letter, that will take care peripherally of everything else. But we want to focus on the one thing that maybe we don't, that makes us mad or something, or that we don't want to do, and go off in another direction and have 5,000 new laws telling us how to think, rather than saying, just do these and leave everybody else alone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone would be taken care of if we could do 10 things.
I remember which one of the founders said you can't have a free society without having a moral society.
I think John Adams.
And so when we get rid of those two rules, you know, love God first of all, love your neighbor as yourself, we get rid of those two laws and everything's gone.
Well, and this was very, very evident when Diane and I sat through all of the committee sessions about House Bill 106, which was supposed to be a school choice thing, but it was involving government money. And so all the homeschoolers, we had our backs up going, no, 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 we're not going to do this. We're not going to take your money, because then that opens the door that you can't close again, as we've discussed several times. And there were so many people on what I should say is our side, on the right, who were supporting this bill. And to those of us who are to the letter conservatives, we're going, no, 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 this is not what, this is not where you want to go. But then there were these bleeding heart stories about what are we going to tell our children, and it's all about the kids. That sounds an awful lot like the left to me. And how did that seep into our pile?
That bleeding heart liberal junk.
Yes. I think it comes in part from 40 to 50 years of the public school system as it is.
And the complete lack of understanding that those kinds of ministries are supposed to be provided by the church, not the government.
Okay, that's where I was going to go next, is that we've just kind of turned over and said, we don't know what to do by ourselves.
Right.
How could we possibly take care of these children without some government money?
Well, the church started that. The orphanages and
hospitals, schools.
Right. And that's in the private sector.
Yep.
Right. I leave it to the private sector. We will get it done. We will get it done, whether it's the church or building roads.
What happened was, though, progressives said, but you're not doing it right.
Right.
You're brainwashing those children to have values, and we don't want them to.
Right.
Once again, anything that the left accuses you of doing is precisely what they're doing.
Yes. Well, it just, hearkening back to the House Bill 106, what they wanted to do was provide funding for people who are taking their kids out of the public school system and looking for alternative education. And what I said in my testimony was, y'all can write me a check if you want to. You can't afford me, but you can write me a check. But I'm not going to hand you my personal information. But the overwhelming support was for, yes, we need to somehow move this funding around. Whoa, 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 whoa. How many people, Diane, have we talked to and said, if you want to homeschool, we will come along beside you and we will help you get curriculum and we will, like you even need it, we will help you get a library card and we will help you do everything, every step of the way. We will help you. We're walking the walk saying there are ways that you can do this, not just in the private sector, but in people's homes. We will come alongside you and we will help you if it's funding or if it's information or anything else, we will help you. And the overwhelming urge is to turn towards the government and saying, well, if we need money, because we can't do anything without money, if we need money, the best way to get it is from the government. That just blows my mind.